Hey, Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7, I suppose we could call this chapter What Counts with God, or we could say, is God a God of religion, or is God a holy God? As we see this passage of Scripture, Zechariah chapter 7, the Bible says, verse 2, when they had sent unto the house of God, Sherezer, Regem-Melech, and their men, to pray before the Lord, and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these many years? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Now, of course, the Bible teaches some truths about fasting. The Bible said, as Jesus said to those who asked him how it was they weren't able to cast out the demon out of this demon-possessed boy, and he said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. The disciples of John asked Jesus, why do your disciples not fast while the disciples of John fast? And the Lord Jesus said, it's not right that you should fast when the bridegroom is still present with you. But here in the book of Zechariah, the people of the captivity were asking the Lord, shall we fast in the fifth and seventh month? The temple has been built. We've had 14 years in which the work wasn't done. And now Zechariah and Haggai have been sent by God to encourage us in the work. Should we continue fasting? Should we continue fasting? And the Bible says, very simply, no. I'm not interested in your fasting. I'm not interested in your rituals. I'm not interested in your religious deeds. He said, when you fasted these 70 years, did it make any difference? Answer, of course, is a rhetorical question. No. It didn't do any good. And he says, you know, the fact is you weren't fasting to me. You were fasting to yourself. Kind of like Jesus said to the woman at the well. He says, he said to the, well, the Bible gives the account of the Pharisee in Luke 18. And it says, and he prayed with himself. He prayed with himself. In other words, he thought he was praying to God, but his prayer didn't go any further than his ears. And so, God gives him a very specific answer. You know, your fast doesn't mean anything to me. Your rituals don't mean anything to me. Your motions, religious motions, don't mean anything. Your tears don't mean anything. Your weeping doesn't mean anything to me. And he tells him why. He said, should you not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets? When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain, shouldn't you have heard, listened to the Lord? Shouldn't you have listened to those words? And the word came unto the Zechariah, saying, verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment. Show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Now he reviews a couple of the Ten Commandments. Of course, they were symbolical of the whole thing. Those who would oppress the widow, who would oppress the fatherless and the stranger and the poor, the covetous. To the covetous, it doesn't matter who you're making money off of. He says, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion. Their system of judgment was based on preference and bribery. It wasn't based on what is right and wrong. We see that in our country more and more. The Supreme Court doesn't go by the law. So many of them, they don't judge by the law. They judge by political preference and have an agenda that's above the law. He said, this is the fast I want. Doing right. This is what impresses me. This is what I'm going to respond to. Not fasting. What I'm going to respond to is doing right. Doing right. That's something that God sees. You know, you think about it, there's so many applications today. So much of Christianity is about entertainment. So much of Christianity is about men. It's not about doing right. And he's making a pretty statement. Make it a pretty strong statement. If you and I want God to bless us, if we want God's blessing on our life, don't think about empty rituals. And maybe there's a lot of religious stuff we should forget about. Because there's something that's more important. I'm thinking of what the Bible says in John. When it tells us about the Lord Jesus. And I... lost the verse of my mind, but I'll tell you a real reference. The Bible says that Jesus did those things that was pleasing to his Father. You know, God is interested in us trying. Okay, that was John 8:29. God is interested in us pleasing him. That's what God's interested in. God is interested in him, in us pleasing him. That's what he sees. That's what he responds to. That's what he blesses. A very simple truth we find in the Word of God. Now we find it, of course, a number of different places in the Bible, that great principle of pleasing the Lord. I wonder, as we just think about and as we bring up this subject, the question is, are you seeking to please God? Young person, are you seeking to please God? What pleases God? What does he say? What pleases God? Well, he took a couple of Ten Commandments and he made them representative of the whole Ten Commandments. Obviously, this is a simple principle. What does it mean to have a relationship with God? Do we impress him with 5,000 Hail Marys? Or is God interested in the people of God pleasing him by obedience? 1 Thessalonians 4:1. I like what it says there. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so would you abound more and more. So you would walk and to please God. You know, Paul's prayer, Colossians chapter 1, he talks about that. Paul's prayer for the Colossians. It says 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You know, there's things that please God. Obedience pleases God. It says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, it's a kind of a simple principle. By the way, I want you to know something. I don't know if they still preach this, but I know the new evangelicals, you know what they say? They say, you aren't supposed to try to please God. You aren't supposed to try to please God. Now, my Bible says the opposite. We are supposed to live to please God. Now, the fasts of the Israelites for 70 years didn't please God at all. He said, I didn't to take one note of your fast. I didn't pay any attention to it. If you read Isaiah, basically he says it was a sickening in my heart and my soul that you would fast, go through all this religious ritual, when you were ignoring doing what was right. You know, this is a simple principle. You know, a child should want to please their parents. Now, you have godly parents that want to do right. It is only right that a child should want to please their parent. Because you know why? Doing right will please a godly parent. Doing right will please a godly parent. A child has godly parents who doesn't care about pleasing them, there's something wrong. In fact, I think what the Bible is making it clear here is that A Christian needs to be conscious of the Holy Spirit in their life. We're to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. And we're to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our life. And we ought to be sensitive to His presence. And I ought to think about, oh, does that please, those words please God? Does that please God, what I just said? Is that pleasing to God, what I was thinking about doing? It's a very simple principle. Do I please God? And he said, if you want, he's basically telling the Israelites, you know, you think you're going to get my blessing by fasting. You're not going to get my blessing by fasting. You're going to get my blessing by obeying me. That is what pleases me. Sometimes, of course, you hear it preached all the time here. But you know, the world, it doesn't say that, does it? And liberal Christianity doesn't say that. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Pretty much the same, isn't it? What does God want? A holy God wants us to obey Him. And more than that, He wants us to be conscious of Him, His person, and His being, His holiness. And we need to have that, which you would call that extra mile principle, which is, I want to please Him. Apostle Paul said, you know, all things are lawful, but all things edify not. There are some things that are lawful, but they aren't pleasing to God. Because we would be better off to put aside our rights and do what is pleasing to God. Now, if we go back to Zechariah, we notice the real truth here behind all of this. He says, verse 11, here are the prophets preaching to Israel. Here's the preachers telling them what they need to do. It says, verse 11, but they refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. You know, it sounds to me like they decided not to listen. Doesn't it sound like that to you? They decided not to listen to the word of God. They refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. They purposely tuned the Lord out. Verse 12, yea, they made their hearts an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts. The words which the Lord of hosts had sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. They made in their hearts an adamant stone. In other words, they said, it doesn't matter what they say, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to let them get me? I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to soften my heart. I'm not going to let the Spirit of God get a hold of my life. Now, can you imagine that people fasting to God? Can you imagine that people fasting to God? But they'd already decided they weren't going to obey God. They'd decided they weren't going to listen to the Bible. They weren't going to do what God said. They weren't going to. You know, it seems impossible that they would fast and yet have that spirit on the inside. But, you know, it shows you the darkness of our sinful nature. It shows the darkness of our sinful nature. It shows us how we can be stubborn and we can say no and limit God and then want Him to bless us. Want Him to hear our prayers. Yet we said no. Yet we said no, I'm only going to go so far and that's it. No, no, no. And yet we want Him to bless us. That's the darkness of the human heart, isn't it? And you know, isn't it sad? You know what's sad? Is that people say no to God. And they're looking for preachers who will tell them that what they're doing is okay. And yet in their heart they said no to God. And then what does the Bible say? Not only does he not respond to that in blessing, what does it say? Therefore, verse 12, came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried. And I would not hear. You know, we find that throughout the Bible. They won't cry. They won't. When I cry, they don't respond. Now when they cry, I'm not going to respond. Speaking to the bitter and the resentful, he says, you won't forgive, neither will I forgive. What's he saying? They wanted blessing, but they got judgment. It says, verse 14, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Of course, here is reminding them of the reason that they had gone into captivity, why they had been taken by the Assyrians, why they had been conquered by the Babylonians, why their nation had been destroyed and laid desolate for all those years, and why for 70 years they were in captivity in Babylon, and God didn't hear their prayers. He didn't hear their see their fast because they wouldn't hearken to the Lord. And so we have a great obvious truth. They needed God's blessing. God had sent Zechariah to encourage them. that he would bless them in building, rebuilding the temple. Sent Haggai to stir them up from their selfishness and get back to putting God first in their life. And that God would take care of them and the temple would be rebuilt. And so the message is, you want God's blessing? Obey Him. Obey Him. And that obedience starts in our spirit. That obedience starts in our soul. That obedience, you bring it with you to church. You take it with you when you read your Bible. Of course, the fact is, there are people who don't come to church because they don't have an obedient spirit. And they don't read their Bible because they don't have an obedient spirit. But what's he saying? He said, if you want my blessing in your life, have an obedient spirit. If you don't have an obedient spirit and you won't obey me, he says, when you cry, it may well be that I won't hear. I'll let you go your own way. I'll let you to yourself. I'll let you to your decisions that you've made. Obviously, that's not God's will, that that happened in our life. But is that exactly what the Bible says over and over? Of course it is. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. All these people who do not desire to obey God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah, I think that's what the Bible says. It says, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I think that's what the Bible says. I think that's what God wants. God wants in our hearts to hear the word of God. Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And all those truths could be summed up in a very simple truth. Lord, I want to please you with my life. And sometimes we can come to the point where we aren't very conscious of the Holy Spirit. We aren't very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We don't think about the Holy Spirit. And we just plow through life. And we're not thinking about if we're our life, our words, our deeds please the Lord. This doesn't really have much to do with the sermon, but you know, thinking about pleasing the Lord, I read in Mark Cahill's book this last week. He said, what do you think that you do in life is going to count 3 million years from now? 3 million years from now, what do you think is going to count? And of course, he was talking about winning souls for Christ. Living to win souls to Christ. Sometimes we can get everything all confused and we can take off the focus of what's really important in life. Have you lost that obedient spirit? I went to a funeral. And it's a Presbyterian church. But it was interesting how the preacher started the funeral. And he started by the funeral and says, okay, everybody bow your heads. And let's have a time of personal prayer. I thought that was good. Made people think about God. Amen? Made people think about God. You know, it probably wouldn't hurt, you know, McQuanago Baptist Church. It probably wouldn't hurt if we start the service and we said, okay, everybody bow your head. Right now, I want everybody to pray. And meet with God. I remember being in Malaysia, and the thing that impressed me being in that service was seeing a couple of Chinese young people, still have the picture in my mind, coming to church, sitting on the front row, and the first thing they did when they sat in the front row was they bowed their heads. I don't know what they prayed, but I think what they were praying was they prayed for God to speak to their hearts. You know, I think the fact is that a lot of people play church. They just play church. They didn't come to church to hear God. Their heart has already said no to God. They're just playing church. Just playing. It's not real. You know, real church is you come to church to hear God. Amen? You come to church to hear God. You come to church to obey God. That's real church. You think, relate what God did to Israel when they played church. Now they weren't playing church, they were playing, you know, Judaism. And I think the same thing is for many who play church today. God wants us to come to church to hear so we can obey. Amen? We came to hear God. And the fact is, we're human enough to know that most of the time we don't hear God unless we want Him to. Isn't that true? We don't hear God unless we want Him to. We don't hear God unless we give Him the right to speak to us. Amen? And that's all in our will. Giving God the right. He does have the right. I should say giving Him the liberty to speak to our heart. That's real church. That's real church. Some things for us to think about. Maybe be good for all of us tomorrow morning. Or maybe it would be good for us tonight to say, you know, Lord, tomorrow morning I'm going to start the day by saying, Lord, I want to please you today. I want to listen to your Holy Spirit. I want to obey your Holy Spirit. I don't want to just go on in my day doing what I do and read the Bible like it was a magic potion and forget everything I read. I want to have a real relationship with you today. Maybe we need to do a little bit of observation of our heart and say, you know what? I've been coming to church not to hear, not to obey. I've just been going through the motions. And maybe we need to get down to real Christianity and realize that God requires us to purposely open our ears, purposely decide to hear what God says. And that's going to have to take place first before we can even obey. Amen. Let's pray that you can start a revival in your own heart. And what a great thing would be to have a revival in our church. And I'm putting it all together right now. That's how God moves. That's how revival starts. When God can look down from heaven, and He knows us all, He can look down from heaven at Maquonago Baptist Church, and He can see the people of God saying, Lord, I'm changing. From now on, I'm going to listen. I'm going to try to please you with my life. I'm going to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. See, what is God saying? He says, I respond to the obedient spirit of the people of God. That's where the blessing is. It's not in magic. It's in real life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a simple truth. Oh, Lord. We realize so much how we can be in some kind of a religious setting even and want your blessing, but walk away living our life not even listening to you. Not consciously seeking to obey you, to hear the Holy Spirit, to be sensitive to what your Spirit is trying to do in our life. Lord, we know without you even tonight, we could walk out of this auditorium having heard this message and even agree with it and do nothing and be just the same. All sorts of good intentions. But the reality of the gripping of the Spirit of God is missing. Lord, help us to beg you to work in our hearts. Oh, Lord, might you intervene. Lord, don't leave us to ourselves. Move in our hearts, even tonight. And I pray, Lord, that the sins that we sometimes deceive ourselves that we can have in our life and somehow think you still want to bless us are going to bless us, Lord. Deliver us from that foolishness. Help us, Lord, tonight to get those sins out of our life. Give us victory. Help us to claim that victory through the Lord Jesus. Help us to come to grips with reality. That being religious doesn't cover over our wickedness. Lord, so I pray you'd be merciful to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.